Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas that relate to Birkas Kohanim. This is Simon Kuf, the 100th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is a very fascinating section in halacha that many people are not aware of, just simply because they are not Kohanim and they're not watching what's going on because they are under a talis or just looking down. And also because many Kohanim themselves aren't aware of these halachas. Let's jump straight in and we'll try to get a sense of this. So why do we do Birkas Kohanim? The Torah tells us there's a positive mitzvah of the Kohanim to bless the nation of Israel. In Parshas Naso, it describes Daber al Aaron vel Banov, Leimor Kosar of Orchus ben Israel, Amar Lohem, that the children of Aaron the high priest was told, and his children were told that this is how you'll bless Israel. And the format was given, it was three psukim, one of 3 words, one of 5 words, one of 7 words. And by placing my name on the children of Israel, I, says God, will bless them as well. And this is a mitzvah which is performed in the Beis HaMikdash and has outlived the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and is performed in shuls for time immemorial. Upon who is the obligation of this mitzvah? So the most obvious responsible party are the Kohanim. A Kohen who does not respond to the call of Birkas Kohanim has transgressed this positive command directly from the Torah. But it's also the responsibility of the people to go to shul, to hear Birkas Kohanim, to be party to this bracha. Let's move into the next topic, which is timing. Why do communities in Israel do Birkas Kohanim every day today? It seems clear from the Gemara and the commentators that the standard practice of Birkas Kohanim is it will be done every day, even past the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is the practice in Israel and the practice among the Sephardic communities, even in diaspora. Why do communities in the Ashkenazic in the diaspora do it only on the festivals? So the practice in the Ashkenazic community is only to do it on the festivals. A few reasons are suggested. Number one is Kohanim are unable to go to the mikveh every day. Number two, people are working hard and it would make davening longer. Number three is non-Jews who are present in shuls. These are a number of the reasons that are suggested. The reasons themselves aren't enough to overlook for the mitzvah from the Torah. So the reason it's omitted today in Ashkenazic communities is that Birkas Kohanim requires a level of happiness, and we are universally not in such a state in the diaspora, except on Yom Tov, which is why in Ashkenazic Jewry, in the diaspora, it is not done on a daily basis. It's something which is more joyous, which is expressed in living in the land of Israel. When is Birkas Kohanim customarily performed? So it's usually done during the Musaf prayer, because of Simchas Yom Tov, the extra Simcha, extra happiness on Yom Tov as well, and even when this happens on Shabbos. What quorum is required? So it needs to be done among a minion of men, which does include the Kohanim, since they are included in the bracha themselves. They're not just giving or being the vehicle to the bracha. Let's move on to the next topic, hand washing. Why do the Kohanim wash their hands? So the Gemara in Sota Dav Lamed Tes Amud Aleph tells us in Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that a Kohen who does not wash their hands is not allowed to do this, because it says, U'yadechem kodesh uvaruch es Hashem. Before you give a blessing to Hashem, you need to raise your hands in holiness. So that means to say needs to be washed. Who washes their hands? So the Levi has the role of assistant to the service of the Kohanim, and they wash their hands as well. This Purim must also have clean hands, which means the Levi needs to have washed his hands beforehand to facilitate this. What if it happens if there's no Levim in a particular shul? Then the firstborn men should wash the hands of the Kohanim. What happens if there are no firstborns? Then the Kohanim should wash their own hands. What happens if their hands are dirty? So their hands need to be washed and clean before they're doing the Netilah. Netilah Sadaim over here is not to clean their hands, it's to purify their hands. Should there be a bracha? So generally speaking, we do not say a bracha, since a bracha was done at the beginning of the day upon wake up. But a God-fearing Kohen should avoid touching unclean spots after the morning washing. When does washing take place? So it takes place after the Kedusha during the Chazaras HaShatz, so in the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. After the Kedusha is finished, then the Kohanim go out, and usually an announcement is made or a clap on the bimah is given. They go out, and then they get ready to be back in the shul by the Ritzeh as they start on a Yom Tov, what would be the fifth bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, Ritzeh. At Musaf Roshon, they go out after Zichronos, and so they're ready by the time that Shofros are finished. Okay, let's talk about shoes. So the Kohanim do not wear shoes for Birkas Kohanim. Why is this? So there's a number of reasons. The Gemara in Sota Daf Memon Aleph tells us to avoid the shoes being fixed during Birkas Kohanim. They say there's something wrong with the shoe, they might fix it. Also to avoid a concern that people will say, oh, why has he not got a shoe? Maybe he's a chalitana. Or there are all kinds of questions that people, when you're in the public eye, people have all kinds of rumors that they like to spread and weave. when do the shoes come off? So they should be removed before washing hands, so the kohen does not need to handle the shoes, because if he does, he would need to wash his hands again. Where do the shoes go? So usually the kohen will either come into shul barefoot or kick them off without having to touch them afterwards. Where do the shoes go? The shoes should be put under the benches out of respect for the shul. They should not be left lying around. Why are they allowed to wear socks? So they kind of keep on their socks, since one does not make a bracha without socks. That would not be appropriate. So let's talk about coming up to the duchan, to the platform. When do the kohanim come up to the front? So when the Shliach Tzibur says Ritzei, then the kohanim are allowed to come up. It's only when the Shliach Tzibur, the leader of the community, has said Ritzei. It's not before then. How do the kohanim stand in the front? So they face Israel. So if that means they're in Europe or America, they would face eastwards. So they're facing away from the community at the beginning. Is there anything they say up on there on the duchan, on the platform? So yes, they do say moedim drabanan, the private moedim, which is said when the Baal Tefillah gets there. And they also pray that their bracha may be accepted. There's a special prayer which is found where they say, Yehi ratzon shetei bracha zu shetziv yosonu levorech es amcho Yisrael bracha shleima v'lo yeh bo shum mikshov avon me'at aved. Let our bracha be successful, there do not be any barriers to it as well. Let's talk about the bracha they say. Is Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu said when there is a Birkas Kohanim? So in the diaspora, the custom is that where it is said silently by the Shliach Tzibur. So he finishes the bracha of Moedim. It says the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Atoshim Chol Echona Ela Ados, and then silently says, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu, Baruchenu Baruch Hamesh Leshes Batorah, Haksoi Dei Moshe Avdecha, and then he says out loud, Kohanim. And at that point in time, everybody except for the Kohanim and the Chazan responds by saying, Am Kedoshecha Kamur, your holy people, as it is said. In Israel, the custom is not to recite Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu, rather for somebody aside from the Shliach Tzibur, just to call out the word Kohanim. What is the bracha of Birkas Kohanim? So bracha is Asher Kidishon, you commanded us in your Bikdusha Soshel Aaron, in the holiness of Aaron Tzivonu, and commanded us Levorech Esamo Yisrael Ba'avotu, to bless the nation of Israel in love. In which position should the Kohanim be for the bracha? So the Kohanim face the Aaron, the ark, for the first part of the bracha, and then they turn to face the community as they say the words, Levorech Esamo Yisrael Ba'avotu. That's when they turn. Should the people answer the bracha? So the answer is yes, the whole community should answer except for the Shliach Tzibur. What is the meaning of the bracha? So it means that only a person who feels good about others, who's ba'ava with other people in love, has a sense of fraternity with them, may say this bracha. And this is from the pasuk in Mishle, where it says, Tov ayin hu yuvarach, that the person who is good of eye will be blessed, but also give blessing as well, as the Zohar understands it as well. This means to say that a kohen who has a fight or hates somebody in the community, or vice versa, may not dare be a kras kohenim. It's considered dangerous for him to do it because it has to be bi'ava. There has to be a sense of equilibrium in the community. Let's talk about position. How should the kohenim hold up their hands? So they hold their hands up to shoulder length, and then their hands should be open, and they are split between the two left fingers and the two right fingers. If you're split in the middle, there should be a gap between their index finger and their thumbs, and their two thumbs should not be touching each other. This creates five windows. There's a window between the two left fingers and the two right fingers. There's a gap between the index finger and the thumb. There's a gap between the two thumbs. That creates five windows, five apertures. This is based on a pasuk which is found in Shir HaShirim, where we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meitzitz Min HaCharakim. God is peeking out between the cracks. Actually, it's understood based on the Medrash that it's Hei Charakim, five cracks, five windows. Hashem is peering through. This is the window, the aperture for the divine to give the bracha. Should the Kohanim move during the Berakas Kohanim? The answer is they should face straight out to the community, the arms straight out in front of them, except they should move their arms right and left, backwards and forwards, and that way right and left for the words which end with the word, the letter Cha. Which are where it means you. So as I mentioned the word blessing to you, then they turn to the whole you, which is the whole community. How should they turn? They always turn to the right and then to the left. Okay, and that means also when they're turning around, they turn to the right, and then when they turn back, they turn to the right when they finish the Birkas Kohanim. Let's talk about the Shliach Tzibur. What should the Shliach Tzibur be doing during the Birkas Kohanim? So once the Kohanim have finished the Bracha, he leads the Kohanim by leading them word for word through the Birkas Kohanim. Are there any rules about how he calls out the words? The answer is yes. He should read them from a Siddur, and he should do it in lower voice than the Kohanim. This is not about him doing cantorial performances. This is about him actually prompting the Kohanim to do the real job. May he answer Amen after the bracha, after the three steps of the Birkas Kohanim? The answer is yes, but only if he is reading from a Siddur and will not get mixed up for about starting the next section. Community involvement. Where should people be standing? So the people should really preferably be in front of the Kohanim. On the side, directly on the side, is also fine, although people try to move in front of them. But if the bima is such that the Aron sticks out and therefore the Kohanim are a little further forward than the bima, the people on the sides, on the east wall, are actually going to be behind them, and they are not included in the Birkas Kohanim, so they should move to be in front of the Kohanim. What should people do in a shul? In the shul, be doing during Birkas Kohanim? They should be listening intently and answering each of the three steps of the bracha by saying Amen. Where should the people be looking? So people should not look at the Kohanim. The Shekhinah is present. The divine presence is present. Therefore, they should be looking down. In addition, the Kohanim cover their hands with a talis, and the men cover themselves, and if they have children, with a talis as well, not to look at the Kohanim directly. Why should I not look? It's the times of the Beis Hamikdash. This is when the Shekhinah was there, and it's not appropriate to gaze in such a direction. Today, even though it's less obvious or less imminent that the Shekhinah is there, the practice is still done to avoid looking. What about the psukim which are printed in some of the machzorim next to the words of Birkas Kohanim? This is pointed out that this is not appropriate to be saying. It can be scanned with your eyes when the Shliat Tzibur is calling out, but that's not to be said. It's to be, one is listening to the bracha which is being given. What is the point of the Ribbono Shel Olam between each phrase of the, or refrain of the Birkas Kohanim? So the Gemara Brachos on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis tells us that the person who has a bad dream says a special formulation where he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the dream be reformed for good. Why is a dream Birkas Kohanim? So this is a time the humanity is most focused, and one can use this time to pray for diffusing negative tidings which may be coming. This is also a way that we know that when Hashem is very present and will listen to our prayers. Another explanation is also found in the Yalkut Shimoni, based on the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. This is the Shlomo's bed, encircled by 60 warriors, the warriors of Israel. The Midrash teaches us that 60 strong men are the 60 letters of the words of Birkas Kohanim to protect a person from visions at night, which have dangerous implications as well. We also know that a dream can be 1/60th of a prophecy, and when the Kohanim are giving the bracha, it is a time that the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is akin to prophecy. So at that time, it could annul a bad dream, which is 1/60th as well, which is why it's done at this time. When is it said? So this is said before the final word of each refrain, while the Kohanim are singing a wordless nigun, which allows sort of the Birkas Kohanim to incorporate this personal prayer at this point in time. This is not said on Shabbos, where we don't offer supplications on Shabbos. What happens if I had no bad dreams? So since Birkas Kohanim is said only on the Moadim in the diaspora, it refers to any bad dreams one had or other had since the last Moed, which could be quite a while. Let's talk about afterwards. When does the Birkas Kohanim end? It ends when the Kohanim say the word Shalom and the community answers Amen. What do the Kohanim do next? So they turn the back to the Aron, turning to their right, and lower their hands and then pull back the talis. The Shliach Tzibur continues with Sim Shalom. They may only turn around when the Shliach Tzibur actually begins the words Sim Shalom. Is there anything else that is said during the moments following Birkas Kohanim? So during the bracha of Sim Shalom, the Kohanim recite a prayer that their prayers, their bracha, be heard. And they try to finish this prayer as soon as the Shliach Tzibur finishes the bracha, so Amen is included there, as which is the Ribbono Shel Olam, where they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please accept this tefillah as well. When can the Kohanim go down from the bima? They go down from the bima after the Shliach Tzibur has finished the Chazor Hashatz. But since people will greet them right away, it's best for them to wait until the Kaddish is completed, because otherwise they'll be talking during the Kaddish, and that is the practice. So they wait until the end of the Kaddish. Let's talk about a few exceptions. What happens if there's only one kohen in the shul, so that kohen will go out to do Birkas Kohanim, but in that case, we don't call out kohanim, because the pasuk actually says, Amor Elohim, speak to them. So in this case, he goes up at the end of the bracha of Moedim, then the kohen just goes straight into the bracha, there's no call out. Young boy kohanim do Birkas Kohanim? So a boy is a kohen, may do Birkas Kohanim, he reaches the age of chinuch, which is around 6 or 7. He should say the bracha if an adult is saying the bracha with him, but not just by himself. Can a kohen do musaf on a yom tov in the diaspora? In general. So the practice in the diaspora is that a kohen should not be a shliach tzibur for musaf on the moadim, so that he can still do Birkas Kohanim. If he was asked to be the shliach tzibur and they didn't know this, or he was the only person, then he may not do Birkas Kohanim. Someone in the shul should call out Kohanim in his stead and call out the words, and he remains silent, not giving the Birkas Kohanim. If there's no Kohen except him, then he may do Birkas Kohanim. In Israel, the practice is differently. If he is confident that he will be not get mixed up, then someone else can call out and he can join the Berkas Kohanim. And this is even true if he's not the only Kohen. But this is different in Israel and in the diaspora. In Israel, of course, we're doing Berkas Kohanim every single day. So this would be a much more, that also affects the reason why this answer is different. If the entire congregation are Kohanim, who gives the bracha and who answers? So if 10 or fewer, if there's only 10 or less Kohanim, then they all go up. And even though that perhaps, let's say they're all going up, they may say the brachas and the women and children may answer the words Amen. Even if there's no one to answer, it's the Amen is not necessary. They're still allowed to do Berakas Kohanim. If there are more than 10 and they're all Kohanim, then 10 go up to do Berakas Kohanim. The remaining the excess over the 10 goes to do the Berakas Kohanim, and the minion of 10 remaining below answer Amen to them. May a Kohen who already duchened do Berakas Kohanim somewhere else? The answer is he may, but is not obligated to. So if he walks into another shul, he may go up as well, but is not obligated to go in specifically to do this as well. Let's talk about the disqualifications. We'll close with this. Is which divisible defects disqualify the Kohen, when are exceptions made? So facial blemishes are permitted in places where the Kohanim cover their faces with a talis, so they can't be seen. Hand defects, let's say there's lesions or speckling, deformity or inability to separate fingers, disqualify because of distraction. Unless he's well known, and so people won't stare. If they're dyed or painted or stained hands, they disqualify, unless most people in town share that same trait. Incorrect pronunciation, so let's say they cannot pronounce a certain letter, disqualifies the Kohen, unless the entire congregation also as that pronunciation. So it's not just a personal glitch. A Kohen who won't duchen for whatever reason and is always disqualified should leave before it's say, not to be there when being called up. Which past actions or statuses disqualify or a person from doing Birkas Kohanim? So an intentional killer may not duchen even after he does teshuva. An unintentional killer or a person in general who is not living a Torah lifestyle and did teshuva may do Birkas Kohanim. A Kohen who married a divorcee or a chalutza, or a person who came tamei who was forbidden for him to become tamei lemeis, may not do Birkas Kohanim until he does tshuva under Talmid Chacham's guidance. Other transgressions do not disqualify him, but a chalal, a person who's the product of a marriage that is not appropriate for a Kohen, may also not do Birkas Kohanim. May a mourner do Birkas Kohanim? What are the time frames? So before burial, a mourner may not do duchan, so let's say he's an aninus. During the 12 months of parents and 30 days after for other relatives, he may not duchan and should leave before it's say. But if there's no other kohanim, he may duchan during those periods, but not during the shiva, even if he was buried on a Yom Tov and there were no others as well. With this, we conclude the general framework for this. Obviously, a lot of meaning in this, but this is a general halachic framework. Have a wonderful and meaningful